Chapter 23, the book of
Deuteronomy, that's the fifth book in the Bible. So the Old Testament, fifth book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then you find the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 23. I'll give you just a moment to find that. If you've got a Scofield Bible, it's page 241. We're going to read three verses. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Give you just a moment to find that. You really pray for me this morning. It's been a long time since I've been so back and forth on what the Lord wanted me to preach on a Sunday morning. I had two messages and I just couldn't get settled until finally this morning. So I desire your prayers. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse number 3. The Bible said, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt. And because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you for letting us be here. I want to thank you for the sunshine and the warm weather. Lord, it just helps us in our spirit, our outlook. Lord, we just enjoy it. We thank you for it. It's especially nice after all the cold and all that's gone on. But, Lord, we come today asking that you would just help us in our spirit. Lord, the outward things are nice, but they change all the time. Dear God, I pray you'd speak to us in our hearts this morning. I pray that you would speak to us from the Word of God, that, Lord, it would be real to us. Lord, that it would be, that we would take it and apply in our lives. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would just help today. I pray for liberty. I pray for unction. I pray that you'd speak to hearts and have your way. I'll thank you for everything you do. We come and ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 5 one more time. You probably maybe even picked out what I would call the good part. It's all good, but look what it says in verse 5. "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. Because the Lord thy God loved thee." Now, the book of Deuteronomy, it's an Old Testament book. It's the last book in the five books that Moses wrote. And it is basically a repeat or a review of everything that has gone on in the history of the children of Israel from the time they left Egypt up until this point where they're getting ready to go over into the promised land. It means a reinstating of the law. And the reason, you know, sometimes you say, well, why are things repeated in the Bible? If you get to the book of Deuteronomy, you're going to find out you've already read a lot of these things already. But what you have to realize is that there is a new generation now. The old generation that came out of Egypt, all of them are going to die before they go into the promised land, all except for Joshua and Caleb. So these are all new people. And new people need to be reminded of what God says. So that's why you have the book of Deuteronomy, and it is a reinstating of the law. They're getting ready to go over into the promised land. And these chapters that, and we're not going to look, but if you were to read few chapters before this, a few chapters after this, these are mainly just various laws that apply to the Jewish people. It is a reinstating of the law. But here
in verse number 3, verse number 4, and verse number 5, it's sort of like a parenthesis in a story. This explains something that has happened before. And it talks about these two groups of people, the Ammonites and the Moabites. And we read in these verses that these Ammonites and these Moabites, they have been banned from the congregation of the Lord. God said they're not allowed to ever, forever come into the congregation of the Lord. God said we're not going to allow them to come in among the children of Israel. Now, you say that doesn't seem right, but now there's a reason why God said this. And we learn about this reason in verse number 4, verse number 5. It said in the last part of verse 3, shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. And then it says in verse 4, because, here's why God said this, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor. Going down verse number 5, it said, nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. What I want to focus on this morning is the last part of verse number 5. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. I want to try to preach this morning on the subject how God turns curses into blessings. I have never preached out of this passage of Scripture before. I don't know that I've ever really paid much attention to this verse before. But I come across it in the past week and I just got to thinking about that. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. And that's a blessing. I'll probably say that a lot today. But how God turns curses, things that we look on in our lives and we say, that is the worst thing that's ever happened unto me in my whole life. Only God is able to take something like that and over time, somehow, some way, turn that curse into a blessing. But God is able to do that. Now, there's a lot of background in verse number 4 and verse number 5. If we were to take time, we could go back to the book of Numbers. Chapter 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and chapter number 25 tells the whole story of the Ammonites and the Moabites, and how when Israel came out of the land, they wanted to pass through the land of the Moabites, and they sent messengers to the king, and they said, they were basically escapees out of Egypt. They said, we want to pass through the land. We won't drink your water. We won't eat out of your fields. We will stay on the king's highway. If anybody by accident drinks any water, they said, we'll pay you for it. We just want to use the road and pass through the land. And the king of Moab, he wouldn't let them do it. He came out with a great army against them, and the children of Israel had to go around another way. And then there was the case of Balak. And he hired Balaam to come out and actually curse, place a curse upon the children of Israel. And all of that is covered in Numbers 20 through verse number 25, all the details. And it's interesting to me as I was studying this, when we are going through a trial in our lives or a test in our life, or we've got a great problem in our lives, and we might even look at it and say, boy, that's a curse. That's a curse. That's a terrible thing. When we're going through times like that, we know all the details, don't we? We like to write down in our memories who said it and what happened and where it happened and what was said about us to somebody else and when it took place and who all was involved. And that's what you've got in the book of Numbers. I mean, you can go back there and read the whole thing. But after it's all said and done and God's turned the curse into a blessing, it's hardly worth even mentioning. I mean, two verses here and five or six chapters in the book of Numbers takes up all the details of this thing. But when it's all said and done, God just says, I turned it into a blessing. Hey, it was hard when you went through it, and man, there was a lot of drama going on, and man, the children of Israel, no doubt, they said, everybody is against us, and we're never going to make it. But when it's all said and done, they just said, you know, God turned that into a blessing. Isn't that a blessing? It's a big deal when it took place, but now when it's all said and done and it's over, God turned the curse into a blessing. How does God turn a curse into a blessing? Well, it begins by His power to redeem. It begins by His power to redeem. Now, we're talking about five chapters here in the Bible. And it, of all the great things that God has ever done for the children of Israel, the greatest thing He ever done for Israel was to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. You read all in the Old Testament and many, many places in the New Testament. It always goes back. They said, remember when God brought us out of Egypt. Remember when God brought us out of Egypt. Remember what God done for us. The greatest thing He ever did for Israel was to redeem them. And what we're talking about specifically happened in Exodus 12, 13, 14, and 15. And it's a place in the Bible where God told the children of Israel, now they were in as slaves down in Egypt. God sent Moses down there. God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. 10 plagues God sent upon Egypt. Every one was worse than the one before. And old Pharaoh still wouldn't let them go. Come down to the last one, and God said, told Moses, said, here's what I want you to tell the children of Israel to do. Take a little lamb. God designed to deliver them by the blood of a lamb. God said, take that lamb, kill it, strike the blood upon the doorpost, go in through the doorpost, stay in the house all night. And God said, during that night, I will pass over the land of Egypt. And God passed over. And He killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Everyone that was not under the safety of that, the blood of that lamb. We're talking about a blood-bought people. We're talking about a people that was delivered out of Egypt, and when old Pharaoh woke up the next morning and found that after all those plagues, the one that really touched his heart was in his own son was dead, and he said, get him out of here. Get him out of here. I don't want him in my land anymore. And God delivered them by the blood of a little lamb. They had been slaves. They were in captivity. They were in Egypt. They had no rights, no freedom. They had no hope. They had no future. And the curse of being a slave in Egypt had went on for hundreds of years. It wasn't something that just, oh, that's 2 or 3 years. It went on for year after year after year until we come to Exodus. You know what Exodus means? Exit. They're getting out of Egypt. How is it that they got out of Egypt? They got out of Egypt by the blood of that little lamb. Now, you say, what's that got to do with us? That's got a whole lot to do with us because that lamb is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how He died upon the cross for our sins so that you and I could be set free. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And before a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are a slave to sin. They are a slave to self. They're a slave to Satan, and there is no way in the world that they're ever going to get out of that mess except for one way, and it's by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus died upon the cross and shed His blood so that you and I could be saved. That is the Old Testament is a picture of what God does for us in the New Testament. And God turns a curse into a blessing by His power to redeem. And you know what? I'm glad He still has power to save. He still has power to redeem. He still has power to set people free, and he does it all the time. Preacher Jeff just got back from the Philippines. They said the best that they could count, there's only about 3,000 people got saved. That's more than I've ever seen get saved. I mean, here in America, we'll have some every once in a while, but you have to realize that in other places in the world, people have different priorities and they are hungry for the gospel. So what a blessing that is. He still has power to save. There's still, like that old song we sing, there's power in the blood. Are you saved this morning? Have you ever been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? That's the best thing that ever happened to you. Best thing that ever happened to me. If you're going to look at Israel, you've got to start where God redeems them out of Egypt and sets them free by the blood of the Lamb. So first of all, God turns the curse into a blessing by his power to redeem. Second of all, he turns the curse into a blessing by his providence in our circumstances. Now, providence is a quality that only God has. It is the ability to go into the future and provide beforehand. God had already been there where they were getting ready to go. And he had already made a way and provided for them in their circumstances. Now, we don't have time to really go over all the history of how they ended up in Egypt. But if we did have some time to talk about that this morning, we'd have to talk about Joseph. How is it that the children of Israel got down into Egypt to begin with? There's a younger brother named Joseph. And his brethren hated him because he was a favorite. I think you're asking for trouble in your family when you have favorites. But Joseph was the favorite son. And he was the youngest son. And his father sent him out to his brethren one day. And old Joseph, man, he was really sporting in them days. Because he had a coat of many colors. Not like his brethren. They was wearing brown coats and black coats. But here come Joseph, man. He's got a red, purple, yellow, blue coat, purple. I mean, man alive. And his brethren, they hated that. And Joseph, there was something about him. He was spiritual. He was spiritual. He had dreams, and God spoke to him, and Joseph had told his parents and his brethren and all of them. He said, I had a dream, and father and mother was the moon, the sun and the moon, and my brethren, they were the stars, and they all came and bowed down before me. Man, they didn't like that dream. That little runt. He's telling us that we're going to one day bow to him. And Joseph went out one day. And his brethren saw him come in and they said, you know what, we ought to just take him and put him in a pit. And they put him in a pit. And then they said, what are we going to do with him? Here comes a band of, just slipped my mind, what were they? Ishmaelites. Let's just sell him as a slave. They sold old Joseph. Bless his heart. Have you ever thought about what Joseph went through? Sold as a slave. Carted off from his family. Never saw his father again for years and years and years. When he got down there, he ended up, he had a pretty good master. And he was brought up in the master's home, and he was given charge over all that his master had. And his master had an old wicked wife. She wanted to sleep with Joseph. You know how the story goes. He wouldn't. She framed Joseph, poor old Joseph, after all that he's been through. I'm talking about turning a curse into a blessing. He ends up in prison. 2 years. He's one man that went to jail that never done anything wrong. There's a few. Bless his heart. We know how the story goes. Joseph ended up, actually, he had control over all of the riches of Egypt. He ended up second only to Pharaoh in the whole land. And it ended up his family had to come down there to Egypt to get food to eat. That's what happened in Joseph's life. Well, it turns out we would think that that is all a curse. But what God, what man meant for a curse, God turned it into a blessing. Have you ever read in the end of the book of Genesis chapter 50 verse 20 what Joseph said to his brethren after his father had died? And they said after their father died, they said, boy, Joseph, he'll turn on us now. He'll hate us for what we done unto him. But Joseph said in chapter 50 verse 20 of Genesis, he said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph said, you meant bad for me, but God meant it for good. And now we're all alive. God sent Israel down into Egypt not to destroy them, but to save them. We're talking about God's providence in our circumstances. Yes, it was hard for Joseph to go through, but God knew what was going on in Joseph's life, and if the nation was going to be saved, somebody had to go through a pretty hard time. We come back to our text this morning, and Israel would have loved to have had a friendly face. Somebody that would welcome them. I mean, they've been slaves. They don't have a land. They don't have anything. They are vagabonds passing through the land. And wouldn't it have been nice if the king of Edom would have just said, sure, fellas, we're not using the highway. Just pass on through. Not a friendly face. And not only that, that king decided he hated Israel, and he went out and he hired Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel. But as it turns out, they didn't need Balak's help anyway. They didn't need the Moabites to come out and bring him any bread and water anyway, because what they found out was that they served a God that could cause the water to come out of a rock. They found out in that hard trial in their life, that curse in their life, that they served a God that could cause bread to come down out of heaven and feed all of them. See, a lot of times we miss being really as close to God as we could be because we look to man to help us first thing. Some man to come along and relieve us. Some man, some person, some agency, some individual, somebody to come along and give us the help that we need when all along God is able to give us the help that we stand in need of. All along God is provided in our circumstances. We're talking about God's redeemed people here. God was able to take care of them and make a way when there was no way. Have you ever been at a place in your life where there just was no way? There's no way out of the situation that you were in. But you look back on it after it's all said and done, and somehow God made a way. God made a way. I've thought, and I'll tell you what got me to thinking about this. Last night we had, for supper, we had the best looking old pork chop you ever seen. And a sweet potato. And Kim had baked up me a big old pork chop. And we was sitting there eating supper. And I told her, I said, the last time I had a pork chop this big, I said, was about 5 years ago. I said, Dad and I went down to a hardware sports gun show, vendors, all these things. I was in business, and we went to Alabama, and boy, they put us up in a big old hotel down there, and we stayed right across from the Hank Williams Senior Museum. I mean, we was uptown. And they put us in this big hotel, and we went in this big ballroom-looking place, and man, they served us the biggest old pork chop you ever seen. And I told Kim, I said, remember, I said, I sent you a picture. I made sure nobody was looking. And I took a picture with my phone. I sent it to Kim. I said, look what I'm eating. Boy, you talk about thinking you'd die. I mean, boy, life's good and eating literally high on the hog. That's where the pork chop comes from. But you know what? In this old world, it does not take long for things to change, does it? The economy crashes. Businesses, people losing their homes. Physically concerned, emotionally, talking about as far as something being hard on me emotionally, that had to be the hardest thing that I've ever gone through in my whole life. And when all that stuff hit rock bottom, I remember telling Kim, I said, God's going to have to do something because there's nothing else I can do. But I didn't know what God could do, but I'm telling you, I'm glad I serve a God that can do. In fact, I thought about this. I've still got that same phone. I sent her a picture of that pork chop on. Do you know that my phone lasted longer than that trial that I thought was going to kill me? God's able to make a way when there is no way. God is able to, you look back down the road sometimes and you say, man, I don't know how the Lord done that, but God turned that curse into such a blessing. Such a blessing. I could preach a whole series on how that God used that low point in my life to change my life, to change the way I think about things, look at things, prioritize things in my life. It was hard. I thought I was going to die, but God took the curse. He turned it into a blessing. And every time I pass a building supply now, I say, thank you, Lord. I don't have nothing to do with that no more. I really do. Oh, there's a lot of ways God can make a way when there is no way. His providence in our circumstances. I didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold, but God knew all along. Number three, how does God turn a curse into a blessing? By His perplexing of our enemies. And just to make a long story short, I've already took more time than I meant to, but Balak, he's a bad guy. He hires Balaam, he's another bad guy. He's a double bad guy. Because he's supposed to be something for God, but he let the bad guy hire him out. Hey, prophet of God, I got a job for you and I'll pay you a lot of money. I'm paraphrasing. If you'll come down here and curse my enemies. If you'll come down here and I've heard that who you curse, God curses, and who you bless, God blesses. And Balak, King Balak, the bad guy, he said to Balaam, I got some people, I want you to come down here and I want you to put a curse on them. And old Balaam, buddy, he's slick. He said, well, I'll take your money, but I can only say what God lets me say. He took the money. He took the job. That's what's so wrong about him. He's doing something. He's supposed to be doing something for God, but he does stuff for money. It's wrong to do that for filthy lucre's sake. He's a prophet for hire, but King Balak hired him. He said, come down here and curse Israel. I'm going to read out of Numbers, chapter number 24, verse number 10, over and over now. Three times. Balaam tried to curse Israel. And three times, instead of pronouncing a curse upon Israel, he ended up pronouncing a blessing upon Israel. Now in Numbers chapter 24, verse number 10, the Bible said, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. Buddy, I'm mad at you. You're supposed to curse them. And he smote his hands together. Can't you just imagine that? And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, And behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. I'm talking about the perplexing of our enemies. Balak wanted a curse upon the children of Israel. But every time he tried to curse them, and that's literally what our text is talking about, God turned the curse into a blessing every time. Three times. And it's funny how they did it. He said he tried it on one mountain. And Balaam blessed the children of Israel. He said, come on over here to this other mountain. Let's try it over here. Three times. He pronounced a blessing instead of a curse. Our enemies are real. Let me phrase that a different way. The enemy is real. I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about there are forces in this world that are derived from the devil himself and follow after him and obey him, and they are trying to destroy us. Satan has been trying to destroy mankind ever since the Garden of Eden. He'd love to see us all dead and destroyed and end up in hell. The enemy is real. He would love to destroy us. He is constantly working against us in our lives. Now, many things that happen unto us, it's your own fault. There's also things that come into our lives, and it is the devil. It is him trying to destroy us. Satan wanting to destroy Peter. I was thinking about over in the New Testament in the book of Luke. And Peter, he was always, you know, he was more forward than the other disciples. Don't be too hard on Peter. He had faith to walk on water for a few seconds anyway. I mean, I really like Peter. I'm sort of like him sometimes. The Bible said in Luke 22 and 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that's the other Peter's full name, Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee. Boy, I like that. How many times do you think that the devil has tried to get at you and I, tear our families all to pieces? Destroy our children, destroy our testimony, and maybe we've gotten oh so close to doing that. But the Lord said, I prayed for you. When you're converted, that doesn't mean salvation converted, but when you get through this trial, strengthen the brethren, tell them what I've done for you. Well, the devil's continually trying. And if you and I knew how many times in our life the devil had gotten so close to destroying us, maybe killing us. But God threw a monkey wrench in the devil's plans. We may never know till we get to heaven how many times the Lord has intervened and we didn't even know anything about it. And I know I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. When I was a little boy, Daddy explained it to me like this. He said, well, you're going down the road, and the devil's trying to light a match and throw it in your gas tank, and the angel's blowing it out. That's real elementary. I know that, but it's probably closer to being how it is than now it's not. The devil is continually trying to curse us and bring things into our life, but God is able to perplex what the enemy is trying to do. And old Balak, buddy, he got mad and he slapped his hands together. Man, he was mad at Balaam. But God just wouldn't let him curse the children of Israel. His perplexing of our enemies. Number four, by the proclamation of his word. How does God turn a curse into a blessing? By the proclamation of his word. Over and over again in Numbers 23, 24, 25. Balaam tries to curse the children of Israel, but God won't let him do it. And he blesses them. by the proclamation of His Word. I don't know if you turned over there or not, but some of these things, chapter 24, verse 6, Balaam said this about Israel, as the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. That's not a blessing. That's pronouncing a curse. God said to children of Israel, they're going to prosper. God's going to bless them. He tried to curse them again in chapter 24, verse 17. Balaam said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and shall destroy all the children of Sheth. You know who that's talking about? That's a prophecy talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over again, that was the proclamation of the Word of God. There's something the devil can't do anything with, and that's the Word of God. Let me say, when you find yourself in a trial, know this, God's on your side. And God wants you to come out victorious, and God wants you to come out on top. And it may not seem like that sometimes. You go through things and you think, oh no, I'm going to die because of this. I really appreciate Sister Amanda's testimony this morning. She said, during all this, God gave me a verse I've been hanging on to, talking about the Word of God. She said it was Isaiah 41 and verse number 13, and she quoted it. It said, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. She's been hanging on to that during her time of sickness. And I'm telling you, God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And just like a father to a child, don't be afraid. I'm going to go through this with you. I will hold your hand. I will hold you up, God says. The proclamation of His Word. There are times you go through trials, and like Brother Kyle said, all you've got's a verse. You hang on to that verse. It's on a sure foundation. It's been many times in my life God's gave me a verse, and that is all I had was a verse. But His Word. I love Romans chapter 8. We quote this all the time, verse 28. Look what the Bible said. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. When you're going through it, that's hard to see. But when you get on the other side, you can say, amen, that is exactly right. I like another verse there, Romans chapter 8. And verse number 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for you. He has proclaimed in His Word that He is in your corner. He is on your side. He desires for us not to be defeated, but for us to be victorious, come what may. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, back in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Verse number 5 said, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Did you notice that in that verse? How come? Because He loved you. Because He loved you. I don't understand the love of God, but I sure do appreciate it. Because if anybody's unlovable, we are. But God loves sinners. God loves people. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Try to explain that. I can't. But God loves sinners. God loves people. Look at one last thing and I'll be done this morning. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah chapter 13. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 13, we're going forward in the history of the nation of Israel 1,000 years. 1,000 years. You think about that. What can happen in a nation over 1,000 years. Well, if you know anything about the nation of Israel, Israel has gone from being at the very bottom. They were slaves, freshly delivered out of Egypt. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. But over time, God blesses and blesses, and they actually become the top world power in the world. Like we talk about nations today being a world power. During the reign of David and Solomon, Israel was the top nation in the world. Other nations came to Solomon for advice. They'd been at the very top. They'd been at the very top as far as power, riches, armies, you name it, influence, all of these things. But sin came in. They fell. They got right with God. I mean the whole history. Finally, they got so bad, God allowed the nation of Israel to be destroyed. The city of Jerusalem, the temple destroyed, the walls, the people carried away into the Babylonian captivity. And they were there 70 years. Then God allowed them to come back into the land. This is the book of Nehemiah. The walls are built up again. The temple is built up again. Worship is restored. Hey, who would ever imagine after the Babylonian captivity that they'd ever come back? But they did. And here you get to the end of the book of Nehemiah and they're having revival. Boy, God's blessing. Man, they're meeting out there 5, 6, 8 hours a day and they're having preaching and they're reading from the Word of God and singing and worshiping the Lord. It says in chapter 13, verse 1, on that day they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written. Now they're just reading from the Old Testament. And all these people together, and they found where it was written. Look what it says. That the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. The last thing I want to point out about how God turns the curse into a blessing is by proving Himself over and over and over again. 1,000 years down the road here, the little nation of Israel, they're starting over. Looks pretty promising. Are they going to make it? Is everything going to be all right? They get to reading in the Word of God. Guess what they read about? How that God had turned the curse into a blessing. And they can look back through history and say to themselves, you know what? That's true. Look how we are here today. Look how God has blessed us. Look how King Cyrus made a proclamation and just said that we could all come back. And he even gave us means and made a way. And hey, God turned the curse into a blessing. Look at that little word. This is an old word and we don't use it very much, but it's a good word. In verse number 2, that little word, howbeit. That's 3 words. How be it. How is it that God can turn a curse into a blessing? Oh, let me tell you, He can. He does. And He still, many, many times in my life and in your life, we've cried out and we've been going through things. And the children of Israel, they'd been through some things. But you and I have been through some things. How many times they'd cried out, Lord, take it away. Let me tell you something real quick. Most of the time, when we're going through something, God does not just take it away. God didn't take King Balak away. God didn't take the Ammonites and the Moabites away. In fact, you read and study the history of Israel. They fought back and forth for years and years and years. It's not usually the way God does things is just to take it away. But He turns it into a blessing. He may not take away sickness when it comes. He may not take away our financial impossibilities when they come. He won't even take away death when it comes. But God can take things like that and turn it into a blessing. We had a little daughter passed away. Say, preacher, I wish you wouldn't mention that. I can't hardly stand it. I can't hardly stand it myself. But I see the big picture now. Heaven sweeter than it ever would have been before. I have flesh and blood. I have people over there. I have the little baby I held in my arms and looked at and cuddled and loved on and had great dreams for. I know where she is. I know she's all right. And I know there'll be a reunion one day. We've said a lot of times that's one of the hardest things a family can go through. But we've said a lot of times, you know, if Hannah wouldn't have passed away, we don't know that we'd have had Abigail. That's why we named her Abigail. It means source of joy. Because God took what was many would consider a curse. He turned it into a blessing. Now, we don't have Hannah right now, but we know one day there's coming a reunion day. God can turn a curse into a blessing. We don't know that we'd have had Chloe. We don't know. We don't know. But we can look back now. So that turned out to be a blessing. God knows what He's doing in our lives. God is able to bring us to a point where we can see Him like we've never seen Him before. But it begins with His power to save. That's where it's all got to start. And when you've experienced God's power to save in your life, you know what you learn after that? You learn about God's power to keep. If He didn't keep us, we certainly couldn't keep ourselves. We learn about God's power to protect in our lives. We learn about God's ability to provide in our lives. But it begins with that power to redeem, to save, to be delivered by the blood, by proving Himself over and over and over again. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Boy, I appreciate your good attention.